Welcome to the Scaredy Cats podcast here on the Everything Unscripted Network. I'm one of your hosts, Dan Hummer.
Hey, guys.
Here with my sister, Mindy. How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good.
We got a big one for everybody, My Bloody Valentine, the 2009 remake to the 1981 classic. Jensen Ackles kind of far away in the horror from Supernatural.
Yeah, it was when both the boys from Supernatural kind of took over the horror scene a little bit.
Yeah. So we got a lot to get into there. Before, we'll hit a couple plugs. Make sure to listen to the Dirt Sheet Dudes, Boxman and Smark, every Wednesday and Friday after AEW and SmackDown, respectively. They do good stuff. We've been working with them a lot. Also, every 6:30 at Friday, listen to us on Scripted Wrestling. That the views keep going up, and that keeps going up, so keep following that. The Scaredy Cats podcast every Sunday, 3 p.m. We called it Audible. We did a little later show last week, but besides that, it's been the 3 p.m. time spot.
Make sure you check us out on Facebook as well, the public group page, and you can go on, post questions, ask us stuff, and also be updated as to what's going on.
Yeah, Facebook, the Instagram for Everything Unscripted. Make sure to keep checking that out, and all the places that we have. Keep supporting and following us.
But just so everybody knows, we are on all platforms, guys. On iHeartRadio, we're on Google Playlists, we're on Spotify, we're on iTunes, all that good shit.
Wherever you can listen to a podcast, we'll be there.
Yes.
Now, Saturdays, we had Doug's History Lesson last night. Make sure to check that out in the archives. We also have some new shows coming up that I won't really give too much information on yet, but the Saturday slot's been filled and settled in the ring. We've done other stuff, so keep checking that out. And let's get into it, Mindy.
What?
My Bloody Valentine. This movie is big for a variety of reasons. We got a $14 million budget. It made $100 million in the box office. So
whoa.
This is a financial success. Like we said, Jensen Ackles kind of far away. But we also have some other big-time actors, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Nation.
Yes.
The first one that we've actually talked kind of about. I don't believe we've done a Final Destination.
Oh, we did three.
Yeah, but he was one of the main characters in Final Destination. He was also in Charmed, for those ladies that like Charmed back then. And a few other cop roles here and there, but I think he did a really, really good job in this role. It was really good for him.
Yeah, his character, because it's supposed to be flawed, because the whodunit the whole time is, it could be him, right?
Absolutely. They were teasing the original as well. Basically, this remake, guys, pulled off what every other remake tries to pull off. Taking a movie, modernizing it, but still separating it. But also still saying very similar. There's only a few differences between the two guys. And that's impeccable for a remake. Pull that off.
And keep interest.
Mm-hmm.
And do it in a different way.
Exactly. Like Black Christmas, guys, like we went over. That's just a little tiring. It's been remade three times. We don't really need another remake. I hope they don't do it. But that's the kind of thing we're talking about here. With this movie, you wanted more. I know it left me wanting more.
Oh, it absolutely did. I mean, and there's a lot of things that go into this movie. I think the whodunit makes it important.
Oh, absolutely. That's the number one thing you want in a slasher.
Yeah, certainly.
Is to keep that environment going, keep that tenseness up, that vengefulness up in the air, So you're like switching from character to character. You're like, wait, maybe it's Sarah. Maybe it's Megan. Maybe it's Max. And like you just keep going back to like everybody because it does a really good job of pretending that the bad guy is the good guy.
Oh yeah.
And he's insane. It's not like it's not like he just went on a rampage because he wanted revenge or whatnot. He's insane. He literally thinks that he's Harry Morden. Insane nutso. He does a really good job at it, though.
Oh, yeah, because usually in horror movies, I mean, they do certain stuff like that where, you know, especially because he's got insane schizophrenia. But seeing, usually when you see the killer looking at the person, you rule them out. Mm-hmm. So even when, like, at the end, you know, when, and I'm not trying to jump around too much, but when they do think it's him, it's like, as a viewer, you're like, no, it can't be him. You know, he saw the fucking guy.
But as a rewatch, I will have to say, one part really sticks out to me. When you have Jason Eccles' character, Tom, trapped in the cage, and he's watching the miner go after the one guy, and he can't get out.
Yeah.
That was really, really intense, but also kind of flawed. Because if you watch it, they look at each other. And back in the day, 10 years ago, when Harry Warden did go insane, as soon as he saw Tom, he went even more insane.
Yeah.
He went cuckoo bananas. So I feel that by having the character look at the guy and having it disappear, because he didn't even walk away, he disappeared. That gives you a really big insight to what's going on.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's the one thing that I will have to critique on, is I gave a little bit too much away there.
Well, yeah, yes and no, but it would also make sense why Harry wants to torture him and make it look like it's him, too. Because
mm-hmm.
the three, I mean, you either think Harry Warden's back, it's Axel, or it's Tom. That's your three killers. I mean, and they float in, so like it could be Ben, maybe, or it could be Sheriff Burke. But these are, it's either these three guys.
Or the deputy or whatever.
Yeah, it was funny they even tried to put one on him, but mm-hmm. it obviously wasn't. He didn't even die, did he? He wasn't in like the big scenes at the end or anything.
And I will say, guys, you know I love a good ending. The last 20 minutes of this movie is amazing.
Yeah.
It's great. Because you got a final girl chase. You got a hero standoff. And not to mention the character that we were talking about that was from Final Destination. He's Axel in this, of course. So he even says to his wife, you know what, go ahead and shoot us both, because I don't want anything to happen to you.
Yeah.
So go ahead. If you really think one of us is the threat and you don't know which one it is, shoot both of us. And then that's when Tom kind of broke a little bit.
Well, he fucked up because he mentioned, well, maybe I shouldn't jump around this much. Maybe we should start from the beginning a little bit.
Probably should.
Because that goes into one of my favorite scenes. So we will talk about that. But the whole thing is, and one of the things at the beginning, Jensen Eccles does not look like a teenager in the beginning. They do their best with Kerr because they got that beanie on him, so he does look kind of like a teenager.
And he doesn't have
pubes. Yeah, but when they're supposed to be like kids, like Jensen Eccles still looks like a 30-year-old man.
I agree. I feel like he looks like he's like 25, fresh from high school.
Yeah. They try to put that stupid hat on him and shit.
I'm gonna love the hat.
But it like that scene was good. I would say maybe they put a little too much plot in sometimes in some areas,
mm-hmm.
but the plot of this movie is pretty good. So I really I enjoyed it. Do you think this movie needs to be 3D, Mindy?
I think for the time when it came out, it did them a favor because it got them to stand out amongst any other remakes or movies.
Yeah.
So I think at the time it helped them. Has it aged well? Some parts, like the blood splatter's cool.
Yeah.
Like that kind of stuff. But other than that, like it really wasn't necessary.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of gratuitous 3D shots, like a lot of fucking, the bullet at the end was, I mean, I guess that kind of had to be, but a lot
of
the
time. Yeah, but that was too drawn out, people, hate us or not.
Yeah.
That was too much. I mean, there's no reason why a bullet should ever take 30 seconds to get through somebody's body, and then another 20 seconds to get out of there. Number one, we don't want to see that. Number two, it has just way too long. That's like a Scream 4 death where they took like 5 or 6 like minutes to die, like Kirby.
What's funny about this movie is it was filmed in Pennsylvania.
That is very true. Very true.
But the plot and a lot of the things, and since we kind of already talked about, we're an ADD kids anyway, we jump around anyway. But let's talk about the girl and how, because Tom gave away at the end that he knew that Megan, and Megan's a real important character.
She really is. Megan, so Sarah took over her family's grocery store.
Yeah.
And she only keeps one employee on, which is kind of weird, but I guess not weird because they're in a small town. And her name is Megan. Megan, you'll find out very quickly, is physically involved with Sarah's husband, Sheriff Axel. And not only do you find that out, but she gives him a Valentine's Day gift that says, "Be mine forever." And when he says that he didn't get her anything, she goes, "Oh, no, you did." And then she reveals that she's pregnant.
Which doesn't really have much value after that.
Yeah, but that man's face—he looked like he got body slammed.
But no one ever finds out. Like he did, like.
No, he doesn't tell anybody, and no one really ever finds out.
The pregnancy thing did not really matter whatsoever.
No, they didn't really need to have that in there. I think they just did that to screw with the Axel character, honestly.
Yeah, they give that more emotional
tension.
Because
she ended up dying.
Yeah.
So they wanted you to feel like Axel did it to cover his tracks.
But let's talk about that scene because that's the one scene in this movie, Mindy, that really worked for me. I really enjoy, like, in the grocery store, that whole chase.
Oh, I know. They think they're going to get away so bad. They try so hard. I feel so bad for those two girls.
And they were both, like, really good. Like, it was, like, not a final girl chase, but, like, they were really good, like, scream queens together running away from, like, and Megan. She was trying to protect Megan, even though you kind of know in her head she thinks there's something going on with Megan and Axel.
She knows.
Yeah.
Like she says, she's not stupid. She's not blind.
But she's still trying to protect her, and she's her boss.
Because she's her boss and kind of like her older sister, so she tries to protect her above all us. But it bites her in the ass, because then when she shoves Megan through the window, somebody meets her there.
Yeah, then, she's like, oh, something's wrong. Like, that really worked for me. That was scary. That was like...
Yeah, the fact that Sarah was the one that stopped and was like...
Oh, shit.
Oh, no. Something's not right here. And then all of a sudden, you see Megan's body jolt, and it's like, oh no.
Yeah, and I forgot, because I haven't seen this movie in 6-7 years, so when I was watching it, I was like, well, it doesn't make sense. No, they don't kill her yet. I was like, she's pregnant with this baby, maybe there's something, like I see her last a little longer. And then we obviously see the scene where she's carved out, and that was so brutal. That was so fucking brutal with the message and everything. And obviously, and that's a big plot point, because that's what gives Tom away at the end.
That's what gives Tom away, because nobody told Tom what happened, but somehow he knew not only what happened, but the message.
Yeah.
He knew at the top of his head. And Sarah was able to stop and be like, wait a minute, no one told you that. And he's like, yeah, you told me. And she quickly is like, no, I didn't at all. And then Axel decides to pick a fight with him, like bringing out the other personality and being like, hey, Harry, are you living inside of Tom? And then Harry came out to play.
Yeah. He's like, I'm right here, motherfucker.
You do have to say that this is not only a thriller, but it's also psychological.
Yeah.
In a way. Because he was a normal young man. But then after everything he went through, he broke. And a lot of people break. It happens to everybody. Well, not everybody. A lot of people that go through that. It happens. And I feel like they did it in such a delicate, but not delicate, kind of harsh way at the same time.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think everything about the story was pretty good. There was some beats that didn't need to be there. Like, probably my one critique is the whole scene with the girl in the motel with the...
No. That did need to be there. That did need to be there. Because Eileen was the original three.
Yeah.
That got out. So you needed to see what happened to her.
You didn't need to see her running around naked.
You needed to see her run around naked. No, you didn't want to, you didn't need to see that, but you didn't need to see what happened to her.
Especially as, like, an aspiring screenwriter, like, Todd Farmer is the most selfish son of a bitch I've ever seen in my life. He wrote this movie, and he's the trucker in that scene. You know that, right? And he wrote himself into the movie to be fucking Betsy Rule. And he's just clapping cheeks, and then he gets a good kill when he opens the door and he gets the pickaxe.
Yes, the pickaxe to the head. I will have to say this, guys. This is one of the movies that I love because the killer uses his environment.
Yeah.
He uses everything that he can find around him. Pickaxe, shovel, hoe, anything he can find.
Yeah.
And I think that's great because there's a lot of movies that don't use the element. They cheese it, but they don't actually use it.
Yeah.
And in this one, they had him use the element. And that was really cool how he used his environment.
He did. I will go ahead and say that scene did bring my least favorite kill of the movie. Yeah, I didn't like the whole gut shot, the way the blood splattered. Like, there was too much buildup for him killing Irene when he actually killed her.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, like, hits her in the stomach because she's in
the crate. I agree, because she's in the crate.
There's so much good, violent, like, gruesome kills in that movie that one just was a little forgettable to me.
I agree. And I also want to capitalize on this when we're talking about our least favorite kills and whatnot. One of my least favorite would have to be motel owner. All she was doing was looking for her dog. Right?
Yeah, the pooch.
That's all she was doing. She was a sweet little old lady. She even gave him a room for free.
Yeah, just for giving her a dog back.
Giving her fucking dog back. And then he fucking... Not only does he kill this woman, guys, but he lifts her up to the ceiling and breaks a light on her head. That is amazing.
It is.
But at the same time, it's my least favorite kill because, yeah, it's amazing, but there was no reason for it. There really wasn't.
No.
Irene could have ended up in any other hotel room.
Yeah.
And just the fact that she ended up in the motel ladies' room, no, I really don't think she should have been killed. I think they should have either waited to kill her and do it in a different way, or they should have left her alone.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't mean much to the story, so no. I guess it adds up the kill count. That's pretty much what it's for. It's cool. The visual is cool.
It is. Absolutely. It's just, it's unnecessary.
I'd probably have to.
So that's my least favorite. My favorite would have to be what happens to Axel and Sarah's maid, Rosa.
Rosa.
Yeah, Rosa ends up in the dryer.
Does she?
Yeah, you didn't see that part?
Oh, yeah, well,
when they came home and investigated, she's in the dryer.
And that's the thing, because that was going to be my least favorite kill, just because he just axes her off real quick.
Yeah, and like, you don't know what really happened.
But then when you open the dryer and you see the steam off her face and her face is melted, that was beautiful.
It was just cinematic beautifulness.
Yeah.
They pulled it off so well, and I love the way that they did it, because they did it kind of like in a scream fashion, like what they do with Dewey. They left it up to your imagination for a little bit of what the hell happened to her. And
yeah.
Where's her kid?
Exactly.
So I will say that was not only my favorite kill, but that was actually probably an integral kill, I will have to say.
Yeah, you needed it. Yeah.
It really needed to be there.
Yeah, because you needed Axel to on the phone to be like, dude, he got in our house. He was in our fucking house, dude. Like, he went after our child.
Yeah.
Like, he killed the maid. Like, this dude's fucked up.
And also, he was like, too, I love that part as well, because he also says, you know, I did a lot of messed up stuff to you. If you want to divorce me, that's completely fine. We can go to the courts on Monday.
Yeah.
Just get out of the car. And at that point, I think she realized, oh, shit. He's right.
Yeah.
Because Tom was also dwindling into his madness. He had called Sarah out about who was on the phone. He knew she was lying. He was getting very angry, very worked up, very tense.
Yeah.
And she goes ahead.
Yeah, I mean, she did good, but...
Oh, she did. She did really good, but... That is a horror show, guys, that I have seen about 80%
yeah.
of the horror franchise that I've seen. And I've seen a lot. That definitely has to be one of the worst horror tropes, driving off into the woods. Because you know they're going to crash. You know somebody's going to die.
Oh, yeah.
Why? Why do it?
Or, like, seeing someone in the road that's not there. That's another. That's like a side off of the trope.
Yeah, and that's just...
No, yeah, I agree. My favorite kill.
Yes, your favorite.
I gotta go, as a man who loves the classic Shia LaBeouf movie Holes, big Shovel fan. You know what I'm talking about now at the beginning.
Oh, I know.
That bit. I mean, I know they had, because I looked into this movie, like what we're supposed to do. And he, the makeup designer is a really good makeup designer, and he made a fake head to slide off the shovel, but they went digital.
It was so well done.
It was good. The way her head slides off the shovel, like, after he, and, like, he gets her, and she's like, oh, she's bleeding, and then he gives the extra, like, and then her face is, like, flopping off the shovel. I just thought that was done so well.
And also, let's talk a little bit about Burke's kill. Not Burke.
It is Burke. When he rips off his face.
No, when he gets the thing to the eye.
Oh, Ben. Yeah.
Ben. Yeah. That was terrifying. Like staring and severely unsanitary. Staring a bloody pickaxe in your eye and knowing that you're gonna go through it.
Yeah.
That is so scary.
And Kevin Teeth, I mean, that's a good actor too.
Oh yeah. Both Sheriff Burke and the man that played Ben, they both have a couple of horror movies under their belt.
Oh, yeah. Burke's been in some crazy shit.
Halloween 3.
He was like the guy that was always at the bar in Halloween 3.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Creepshow, The Fog, also Lethal Weapon. I know that's not horror, but it's a big movie.
Action.
Yeah, so he's been in a lot of shit. Great actor.
Absolutely.
But his kill was even good when they go up the... He rips his face off with the pickaxe.
It's amazing. The visuals that they give us in this film, impeccable.
Yeah. And I think that one of my critiques, I do have to say, because the visuals and the kills and the 3D, I think, is done very well and that stuff. But for a $14 million budget, this did feel a little low budget to me. It was shot, if you take the one that Padalecki did with Friday the 13th, and you take, like, that is a beautifully shot, pretty, glossy movie. This is more grittier, and maybe it's supposed to be, but it's a little more grittier.
Like, when you have the, like, lines and whatnot, you had a little bit of like a little bit of a grittier terrain to deal with anyway.
Yeah.
And whereas Chair Pavlovsky, he was in the woods by a lake. So unfortunately, yeah, he did have the better cinematography, but he was in a better place for it.
Yeah, I mean Crystal Lake. Now that only had 5 more million, but still, it just felt a little grittier. And it was a small town, so maybe it's supposed to,
mm-hmm.
and it's supposed to have that gritty. And these characters are not all that great of people. It's a small town, so it does make sense.
Yeah. That's the way I feel about it. Makes perfect sense.
Another one of my favorite shots is at the end with the big chase scene. After Tom hits Axel with the pickaxe and it goes in his gut a little bit, he's wounded. And he's hitting, jamming up at all the lights. And
oh,
he's
my
slowly,
God, the lights!
And then you see him turn into the miner for a second, but it's just like a flash and with every light that he hits. And that was done so well. It makes no fucking sense besides like just in his psyche. Like obviously they're not seeing that.
No.
But it is fucking cool to watch.
Absolutely. He played a really good psychopath.
Yeah, Jensen Ackles did a very good job here. Would you compare the two? As even though I'm more of a Jason fan, I like this performance better than Padalecki's Friday the 13th performance.
Absolutely.
I mean,
a little Easter egg for you guys. If you watch this intentively, and you see people at the bar, one of the spectators of the fight between Tom and Axel's dad was actually the man that played Jason. That's Derek Mann. He was there.
Hell yeah.
And I don't believe he had a speaking role or anything. I just believe he was a spectator at the bar, but he's there. And I think that's hilarious. Like, you're doing a movie, and you're like, hey, JC, well, come on without your mask.
Yeah, it's going to show up, dude. That's fine. But I do think the direction of the movie, the plot was really well. I mean, some of the, like, little, like, I understand we got to put a heart in the candy box.
Emma's mom gets a pig heart in a box. Why?
And they do it like 4 times. Like it makes sense, but it happens a lot. And I know that's like part of it because
it's
Valentine's Day.
When did he turn into a doctor?
Yeah, he became a surgeon when he ran out. So, that's nuts. Anything else you want to get into, Mindy?
I will have to say, this one did a really, really good job of separating itself from all the other horror sequels I've seen. And I will have to say, this is one of the better horror sequels that I've seen to this day.
Remakes,
sorry, not sequels. Sorry, guys.
No, you're good.
Still, best one I've seen to this day. Great goriness. Like the director said, because I watched interviews with the director, and he even said, it's called My Bloody Valentine. So we tried to get as bloody as we possibly could without an N-17 rating.
Yes.
And keeping it R. And I really think that worked for him.
Yeah, they reached that goal.
Yeah.
I think they did do that.
Absolutely. But cinematography alone, even without the 3D glasses and whatnot, it does a good job.
Yeah, it shot well.
Yeah. The blood splatters and taking people's jaws off. It's creative. It's very creative, honestly. I haven't seen a more creative killer than Michael Myers.
Ooh, that's a big one.
And those are big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
Big shoes. And I'm not saying he's the next Michael or anything like that. What I'm saying is, though, he was creative.
Yeah. No, he was good. Now, the one thing, and this is the big question here. Okay. This does a lot at the end to set up a sequel or to set up maybe a franchise or what.
Yes, it does.
I've asked you this with a lot of these remakes and a lot of it, and I'm going to ask you the same question here. Would you be interested in seeing Axel and Sarah's relationship, also Tom and his, you know, murder spree. Do you want to see that story continue? Because it obviously doesn't.
I think if
doesn't.
He would have told me, and, like, if he would have asked me that question when I first came out, or, like, in, like, the last couple years that it was, like, fresh and whatnot, I probably would have said yes. Definitely.
Yeah.
But at this point, there's been too much time.
Oh, yeah, it's been over 10 years.
I mean, unfortunately, they're probably going to do something, because, like we've told you all, the horror industry really does suck. I mean, we love it very much to pieces, but fortunately, they have a really, really, really hard time of coming up with new concepts.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit to rummage through to find a diamond.
So will we maybe find, will we maybe find ourselves attending another Bloody Valentine? Maybe. Maybe. But do I think it'll be a sequel?
No.
No. It'll be either a reboot or a remake. Or a prequel. I would like to see a prequel.
Yeah, that would be good shit.
You agree?
I mean, I wouldn't mind a prequel on Harry Warden, I guess, a little.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, on Harry and the other guys in the mines, not
yeah.
really Tom.
Yeah. Or maybe Tom as a kid before he goes crazy.
Yeah,
and
you
like
know what?
That.
Pick a different actor. That's all you have to do. People do that all the time. Substitute in the old actor that looks like he's 35 years old for a babyface actor.
Yeah.
The only reason it worked with Jared being a college student and being the age that he is because he had a babyface till he's 30.
Yeah.
He's like me.
Yeah.
He had innocent look until he was like 30-something, and then he started to get fat.
Yeah.
And he doesn't look innocent anymore. He used to look like a child. Jensen does not look like a child.
No, he looks like a 30-year-old man.
Absolutely.
He's like a well-groomed 30-year-old man. Like, he's a handsome guy.
Except the hat needs to go.
The hat needs to go.
The hat needs to go, people. And, oh, my goodness, the marshmallow Walmart sweater vest and the flannel. Oh, God, I can't, guys. I'm just going to say, if you're a fashion person, it's just going to kill you.
I will say one thing I don't like. I don't like how they glossed over that he was the problem and he, like, caused the accident to fuck Harry Warden up. Like, that was very in the beginning, and that was, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah, and that was very integral to the story.
Yeah, they got in the fight about it at the bar, but they didn't mention it too much after that for it being important.
And that was a very, very important part of the story. And I feel like they could have done so much more with that. I feel like they focused a little bit too much on the drama, like Axel and Sarah,
yeah.
and kind of how he kind of knows and everything. Like, I feel like they focused more on the drama of the infidelity than they did of the, let's face it, 20 to 30 of people dying.
Yeah. Yeah, there was more to get into there. And there was a couple of the things, like, they did make Harry Warden look like a bit of a fucking idiot at the beginning, where he passes the three of them, where he can clearly see them to kill one person.
Uh-huh.
And I still don't get that. You could have got a three-person kill there, but you're like, fuck that.
Yeah, but those were the characters that moved on from that situation.
Yeah, but it's
and
still
at that
stupid.
Point, Tom was yelling for him.
Yeah.
So at that point, he was trying to go.
No, but he chased after the other kid. The kid that sucked, because remember, he walked right past him at the wall, and he's got his hand over his mouth.
And that's true, but what I'm saying is, though, when he ended up seeing the other kids, that was when Tom was yelling for Sarah.
Yeah, but he walked right
so
past them to kill the one
right
guy.
He walked right past them, killed the one guy, heard Tom screaming, and then went to find Tom.
No, I get it. I just don't understand why he walked past them without doing anything. Like, it's like, you had to see them.
He didn't have interest. I hate to say it, and Michael Myers himself has even done it. So it's Jason. Sometimes they just don't have any interest in
them. Yeah, but everyone else is dead. That's just, like, plot purposes.
Sometimes it's like a duck, duck, goose.
I guess you're picking to choose. All right, Mindy, how many pickaxes is this getting out of 10?
I'm going to have to go with 8.5.
8.5? Ooh, you're going big for this one.
I really enjoyed this movie. I'm not going to lie, guys. I'm probably going to end up watching it every now and then.
I really liked it too. I'm only going 7.5 because I do think there are flaws to it.
And yeah, you know what? I'm gonna knock it down to 8.
Yeah, and I enjoyed the ending, and I enjoyed a lot of the movie.
Yeah, but they left it so open. That's what I'm upset about. As the last shot, they left it way too open.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. So we're knocking it down to 8. Daniel's 7.5.
Yeah. It was a good film. It sucks we didn't get to see another one, but for what it was, I enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
We'll probably do the original at some point.
Absolutely. Guys, so next week we are going to be tackling the original Craft movie. It came out in 1997 or 6, I believe, right next to Scream. Came out around the same time.
Yeah.
And honestly, you still have the same actors. That's funny.
Two very important ones.
Absolutely. We'll get more into that next week. It's going to be a good ride, though. And like I just talked to my co-host here before we went on, we're going to do that. And then within the next couple weeks, we are going to watch Craft Legacy that just came out in October of 2020. And we're going to see how that one is.
Yeah.
If it holds up. So stay tuned for that. But next week will be the original Craft.
Absolutely.
Daniel, I think I'm going to give him a big old hoodie.
All right. And we'll see everyone next week. This was awesome. My Bloody Valentine. And next week we'll do the Craft. Mindy, always a pleasure. We'll see everybody next week.
It was a pleasure. Bye, guys.
A little walk to the edge of the town and go across the track where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks, where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming whines. Hey man, you know you're never coming back across the square, across the bridge, past the mills, past the stacks.